You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. Thanks for tuning in. We've got Jeffrey Flanagan on the line to talk about the Royals. And Jeffrey, as we record this, we're actually minutes away from finding out if the Royals have nine guys in the lead for the AL All-Star vote. What's been your take on that craziness? They've even had to... You've got people asking MLB if there's some kind of glitch in the system or some kind of hacking going on, but it appears legit that Royals fans are, I guess, in lieu of listening to this podcast, they're out there voting.
I don't know. I'm greatly amused by it all. There seems to be an outrage around the league about it. And maybe next year at this time, MLB reconsiders this, because I think what's happening too, I mean, people, if I'm correct, you get 35 votes per email address, correct?
Right.
And that's every day. So, I mean, you got a lot of computer whizzes out there who are just generating maybe hundreds of thousands of, you know, different email addresses and popping in the ballot each time. I'm guessing, I don't know, I'm not an expert enough, but just the gap that's being created now, and you're right, I mean, we'll find out in a few minutes here how big it is, but, I mean, they have a 1 million or 2 million vote lead on some of the guys. So, I mean, they are just cranking out the votes, and it's funny. But then again, you know, having Omar Infante, who right now I think is officially the worst hitter in baseball, if you look at the stats, over the last 30 days, and Alex Rios, who's right behind him, and they're in contention for our starting spot. You know, you got to wonder if the system is maybe just slightly broken. I'm not taking anything away from the fans. It's their vote, and God bless them. They are out there and they're enthusiastic about it. But I can see why there's a little bit of an uproar.
Yeah, I think Royals fans would probably vote Infante off this team if they could.
Exactly.
Don't get him in the All-Star game, no problem. And the good news is the Royals will have a lot of All-Stars, and the bad news is workforce productivity in the Kansas City area is at an all-time low, but that's all right. all right, so there's a lot of doings and transpiring in the rotation there. Obviously, Jason Vargas goes back on the DL for the second time this season with a left flexor strain. Joe Blanton filling in, and he's obviously made a few appearances relief, but now we'll see what he has from a starting standpoint.
Well, we may see him. They're going to flip things around here. So Chris Young will go tomorrow night here in Milwaukee. Volquez will keep his assignment tonight. And Blanton was supposed to go tomorrow night. Now, he'll move back to Friday, likely, unless something else happens and they have
right.
an extra inning game or a blowout or something like that, and they got to use him as long relief. They did call up Brendan Finnegan again, too, so he could provide some help there. But it's just kind of got your head spinning here about all the things that are going on, because we're still not sure Ventura is going to start on Wednesday night
right.
because he's got inflammation in the ulnar nerve that made his fingers numb. So we'll find out a little bit more today about whether or not he's going to throw a side session, and we'll figure out if he can grip a baseball again. So a lot of question marks for the rotation right now. It's just we were all trying to figure out the new rotation, and it just gives you kind of a headache to try to figure it out. So, but hey, they're hanging on. They're 9 games over 500 through it all, and still in first place by, I think, a game and a half. So they're getting through it with the depth that they got in the rotation.
Yeah, Yordano's had a strange year injury-wise. Strange couple, both seemingly minor, but strange. The right thumb cramp on opening day, which we attributed to a different climate, pitching a different climate. But now the fluid, as you mentioned, in the ulnar nerve in the right arm, giving him that weakness. And again, like Jeffrey said, we'll have to see how that shakes out here in the next few days. But what's the latest, Jeffrey, on Danny Dovey and his recovery, his timetable?
Well, he was doing pretty well, and then he was going to throw yesterday, and they were in New Orleans with the AAA Omaha, and he got all of 4 pitches in, and then the rain came, and they suspended the game. So I guess that pushes him back a little bit. Maybe he only needs 1 day of rest in between now and probably maybe go again tomorrow. But they're still looking at taking their time with him. They're not going to rush him back, even though they may need help in the rotation right now. Ned has said he is not rushing his rehab at all, Duffy's rehab. So he'll probably sit there for, I would say, at least 2 weeks. So they want to get him up to a full 100 pitches before they bring him back. And he's only at about 50 or 60 now, and they're going to go kind of in increments of 10 and 20. So you can do the math. It's going to be lengthy. So they want him certainly right for the second half of the year. And Ned's made it pretty clear that when he is healthy, he's going to go back in the rotation, which means someone will have to go out, you would think. But then again, as we've already seen, guys are getting hurt left and right. You know, this is the second DL since the Vargas. And that one kind of was, this one was really unexpected because he pitched so well in Minnesota, six shutout innings, and then felt tightness again in that flexor. So you never know what's going to happen to anybody's rotation. So they just want to make sure everybody's fully healthy for the second half.
Well, obviously the rotation isn't even the biggest focus right now because the way the offense is going. And as you mentioned, this team is weathering the storm fairly well, all things considered. It entered the week with the best record, not just in the AL Central, but the American League in general. But something's got to give with this offense, Jeffrey. They're, let's see, over their last 12 games as we record this, a .254 on-base percentage. And then my favorite stat from the weekend is the Blue Jays scored 31 runs in a three-game series against the Red Sox, which is four more runs than the Royals had scored in their first 11 games this month. So what's going on with the bats?
Right now they're having trouble getting the ball past the pitcher's mound for the most part. They're just really struggling, and they're swinging at everything. They're swinging at a lot of first pitches. And when you go in a slump, I think that's kind of natural for hitters. They get antsy. They get impatient. Their on-base percentage is just absolutely awful the last 2 weeks. They're not selecting their pitches very well. They're just kind of going up there hacking and hoping. And that's not the way it has to go for them. I mean, they're not really a patient team to begin with. They usually are last in the league in walks, but they're at an all-time worst right now. So something's got to give. They got a couple of guys that are starting to heat up a little bit. Sal Perez is starting to heat up. Alex Gordon is, but they've also got several other guys who are just mired in deep, deep slumps. Alex Rios, Infante, Escobar, and all these averages are dipping. Now, it can't last forever. I mean, they're going to snap out of it eventually, but getting back to the All-Star game, I mean, what if they continue to dive like this and they all make the All-Star team? You're going to see some pretty hideous numbers flash up on the screen in Cincinnati when they're at the All-Star game. So, but I think, you know, Ned's being patient. He thinks that this is a good offensive team. They were leading the league in hitting until this recent funk, and he thinks they'll snap out of it eventually, and maybe it comes this series against Milwaukee. They have been facing pretty good pitching, I will say that. There are no slouches that they've been beaten by. So, but also, too, I mean, they, you know, as bad as it seems, they did sweep Minnesota last week. And we were talking to Alex Gordon yesterday, or the day before yesterday, when they lost to St. Louis 3-2. And the questions were kind of soft-toned and muzzled and, you know, out of respect after a loss like that. And Alex just kind of looked at us all and said, "Hey, guys, where's the funeral? We've only lost two games in a row and just swept Minnesota. Let's cheer up a little bit," you know, and we all kind of laughed, you know, and it's true. I mean, they're, you know, for all the offensive troubles and how dead the offense looks, they're still, like you say, they got the best record in the American League. So it's not a big catastrophe yet.
Yeah, I thought that was a real statement series with the sweep in Minnesota last week. And speaking of statements, the Royals might have made one in the draft last week as well in the targeting of high school arms early. Ash Russell went 21st overall and Nolan Watson 33rd overall. Dayton Moore compared Russell to Garrett Richards, and Lonnie Goldberg, the scouting director, said Josh Stallmont, the college arm they took with their third pick of the draft, he thought he might have one of the most, if not the most, electric arms in the draft. So what was your general takeaway, Jeffrey, from the way the Royals went about things in the draft this year?
Like, you know, obviously we don't really get to see them or anything like that. You just maybe see a video on a couple of them. But just looking at the numbers and the size of them, the Royals have a certain profile of pitchers they like to take. And they're usually like 6'5 to 6'8 and throw in the mid-90s or lower 90s if they're in high school. That's their profile of a pitcher. That's what Dayton wants. And if you look on the big league roster, you know, it's a pretty sizable team, you know, height-wise. They're basically a NBA basketball team. They're 6'8", 6'7", 6'5", and that's who he likes. Or, now, he went against that last year when he got Brandon Finnegan, who would be a point guard at the best, who's kind of a smaller guy but throws hard. He didn't fit the profile, but sure enough, he popped right up to the big leagues and was helpful. But I think that's the direction they went in the draft. You know, they like all teams, very heavy on pitching. But with them, it's a certain profile they look for, and they're all pretty big guys. But the number one pick, I think, is 6'3", 6'4", throws very hard, and so forth. The other picks in the first 10 rounds were very similar, so we'll see how they develop.
Yeah, that organizational trend really stands out to you when you're at spring training, and if you're 5'9" like me and looking around, not just the guys who are on the big league club, but just that system in general, you just see big guy after big guy, you're constantly craning your neck upward. One last thing, Jeffrey, on a light note here, not an entirely light note, the passing of the wrestler Dusty Rhodes, but it's a light note in that Ned Yost, I am never ceased to be amazed by Ned Yost, his circle of friends. He's friends with the late Dale Earnhardt, Jeff Foxworthy, and now we come to find out he was friends with Dusty Rhodes as well. This is an eclectic group he's collected.
Yeah, you just find out something new every day. Although we've known about Dusty for a year or two now. And it's just kind of coincidence he was in the same neighborhood as him. And I mean, I'm old enough that I remember Dusty Rhodes. I'm not a wrestling fan or anything like that, but I remember the name and his persona and his character. And, you know, we've gotten to meet Jeff Foxworthy a few times in the locker room, in the clubhouse. And he's obviously a big, you know, he was born in California, but he really has a Southern man's traits where he really likes down-home stuff and stock car racing, auto racing, and the kind of humor that Jeff Foxworthy has, you know, his little down home, and that's kind of who Ned is. So I'm sure he'll surprise us again, and you know, come up with a couple of other new celebrities that he's pals with. So,
well, he's got some celebrities in that locker room, obviously, as the Royals are doing so well in the All-Star voting. I want to thank Jeffrey Flanagan for joining us to talk about that, and thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.